This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this is Uncensored.
Unsentenced. This is Unsentenced.
Well, that's an interesting start.
This is school holiday, so they switched off the speakers in the studio.
Well, that's
and
okay.
We are ready to really rock and roll right
Everybody
now.
Everybody needs to learn. Sex Talk with John T. Serlin tomorrow.
Hello.
And we are talking this morning about a really serious topic. So on the 31st of July is International Orgasm Day.
Yes, very serious.
And we're doing a whole lead up to that. Yeah. And we're starting with women who struggle to have orgasms.
Okay.
So 40 to 65%, depending on kind of which research you read.
Which country?
Well, yeah. And it's across the world, so different studies will show different things. But according to the research, between 40 and 65% of women do not have orgasms.
And 99% of women that orgasm don't know what they can have.
So why do you struggle to have orgasms? And there are so many different reasons.
Mm.
And it's never just one, because it's not in a vacuum.
Sure.
And how can you start changing this? That's what we are looking at this morning.
Can you change this?
Yes, you can. So please WhatsApp us your questions, your stories on 079-748-2090. We would love to hear them and maybe we can help you. But let us do this first. If we switch that on and push this.
Here we go.
Ninja Sex. Chocolate Starfish. Twitter Bag. Calipagian.
Today's Dirty Dictionary word is
coulrophilia.
Dirty dictionary word.
Coulrophilia. Any clues?
Well, sometimes I wish Eric or somebody would just join in, that I don't have to be that person that says, but I don't even know English. It's a cool, rough loving. So it's loving being cool and having sex.
Okay, you are so far from
this way. But it's cool. So cool.
It's a cool one.
It's a cool sex word.
C-O-U-L.
Okay. Like
C-O-O-L.
It's not like a raspberry coolie or like
No.
Okay.
Coulrophilia. So message us 079-748-2090. What do you think coulrophilia is? Shout loudly, talk softly, whisper.
Squirt. Squirt cleanly. That's just, I don't know. That's you're talking about this.
Your mind is in the gutter this
morning. Well, I don't know.
It always is, but.
Is that a gutter to squirt?
Well, the gutter is a wonderful place. Well, your friends are there.
It's a very, very friendly place.
Absolutely.
For me.
So it's wonderful.
Jonty, I want to tell you that we had a little yoga retreat at our lodge, right? Mm-hmm. And I found a big fan by mistake. Somebody arrived to a couple, and they love only podcasts, and they listen only to internet radio, and they were like talking about Gareth, and I didn't say anything. And then they spoke about Jonty.
Mm. That's wonderful.
And I said, yeah, I'm also with John T in the show sometimes. And they're like, Tamar? And it was like the first person that I've seen.
Yeah.
It was so nice. It was
That's
so nice
wonderful.
To see. They're like, we're learning so much. We're so interested. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's
so thank
fantastic.
You for the wonderful couple that is learning.
That's beautiful to hear.
It is.
I love that. It's really awesome. And we're getting messages all the time from all around the world of people who are listening to the show. It's fantastic.
Really cool.
I really love it. And such an amazing platform to share. It really is. It's beautiful.
Because for you, it's life. Some people need to tune into that. That gives them life. That gives them a different aspect of life. You know, you live it.
Yeah, it has to be that way. You can't dabble in it. It's not like you're into this.
It's not like I'm In and out, in and out, in and out.
Okay. So either you've been having too much sex or not enough sex at the moment.
I think not enough.
It sounds like it.
But I'm a bit excited because I think the orgasm show is always interesting because it gives the concept of, first of all, why is orgasm important? Oh. And then if it's important, which it can be, then have it properly.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the big platforms of the work that I do in teaching is to get out of that goal of orgasm because it frees you from so many things. It's a trap and we talk about it so much.
Yeah.
But orgasms are wonderful and they can be, and you can have so many different kinds of orgasms and all sorts of things like that. Mm. So when orgasms are important, why are they not happening? What can we do about it? And that's what we're talking about
exactly
this morning.
Okay.
Simply because there can be so much pleasure. Mm. It is such a wonderful and beautiful experience. So there are so many reasons that women don't have orgasms.
Okay.
And it's never usually just one reason.
Mm.
Because our sexuality is very, very complex. It impacts and interacts with so many different parts of ourselves.
Sure.
Mentally, spiritually, emotionally. There's an enormous historical background to it, meaning coming from our past, from parents, from family, from religion, from so many different aspects of society. Because our sexuality doesn't start when we hit puberty or when we start having sex.
100%.
It actually begins in childhood.
Mm.
And it's very much the patterning that we get from our family. So the fascinating thing and what makes sex so difficult for so many of us is that it's the part of life that's spoken about the least.
True that.
Openly. So much of sex is implied.
We get messages.
That's it. And it's not stated. It doesn't say that sex is good, that sex is bad, that sex is wonderful, that sex is nasty, that sex is dirty. We just get all these subtle kind of messages and hints and clues. It's like, if your mother says, if you say, can we have chicken for supper? And your mother says, no, we're not going to have chicken tonight. We're going to have fish. And you say, well, can we have chicken tomorrow night? She says, no, we're going to have pasta.
Mm.
And can we have chicken on Saturday night? No, we're going to have burgers.
Yeah.
But she never says, we're not eating chicken because I'm allergic to chicken. As soon as she says that, you can make a decision for yourself. You can say, I don't agree with that. I would like to try chicken. Or you can have a discussion about trying chicken.
It's in this void. You just never really get in. You don't even want, you don't even know you can address it.
No. So you make up your own mind and you create all these movies in your head about it. And that makes it really difficult because you don't know what's real. And you do that from the time you're really young, even if you're not conscious of it.
Mm.
So that's how you grow up. And then when you start having sex, you just plug those ideas into your sexual experiences.
And we are disconnected. We don't sleep with our parents. We don't hear them. We don't know.
So parental sex is this totally private thing.
Mm.
And if for your parents to even acknowledge themselves and each other as sexual beings is really difficult. And then there's this paradox because we live in this highly sexualized world where so much is sold through sex and so much is sold through female pleasure. So the paradox is that there's all these sexual women all over the place, but if you're having a lot of pleasure and a lot of sex, then there's enormous judgment on you.
And also you're having a lot of sex doesn't mean you know how to really have a lot of sex.
So as a man, if I go out and I'm having lots of sex, then I'm this real stud. But as a woman, if you do that, you're a slut, you're a whore. So it's this total paradox.
Mm.
And often that makes it really difficult for women to be these beautiful, full sexual beings.
Sure.
And there's so much pressure on it and so much about performance. And then porn plays a big part because people's access to porn. So you know what? There's sometimes things in life are quite amazing because all you have to do is wish for it.
Yeah, and it happens.
And
like
it just
like a multiple orgasm, like Eric.
So you say, could Eric come to the studio and say something? And who walks in the door? Eric, I need to put a microphone on.
In Israel, there's a song that the theme of the song is don't speak about Eric because that's like the ultimate lover.
Yeah.
That's the song.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. So I promise you, like one of the hits. So he says, "Don't speak about Eric. I don't want to hear his size. And the whole song, he goes, "Don't speak about Eric.
Don't speak about. Oh.
So now, Eric, you became our little idol, Israeli idol.
So the fascinating thing is that as soon as we are told not to speak about something or not to look at something, that's where our attention gets fixated.
Curiosity.
Yeah, it's like,
I call it. Yeah.
It's like you're not allowed to laugh.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you try and everything
now you're trying
you do.
To block it. Yeah. Don't look now. But
so maybe if we can all say don't have pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then everybody's going to go and have lots of pleasure.
But in a way, that's what happens because don't have sex, and then you're like, sure, I'm going to have sex. You know, that's what happens.
Absolutely.
I think it just, like I said, boils down to curiosity because you're going, wait, why shouldn't I be having sex? Why shouldn't I be experiencing pleasure? And then they're going to try it and go, oh, okay, this is why, because it's addictive. And
you know, I did an interview this week which was about first time sex.
Yeah.
And I was giving some advice to people.
Parents.
Yeah.
Or
and the fascinating thing is that if kids are going to have sex, they're going to do that anyway,
regardless
of what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all going to happen anyway. People are going to have sex. So have the best sex you can.
And then how? So orgasms. We started talking about the challenges.
So let's look at, so Eric, for your
I'm here.
For your education, yeah, get off your phone now.
Sorry. I was replying
this young
to Dave.
They'd rather be on their phones than have sex.
Listen, it's highly addictive, eh?
Well, addictive. I have a phone.
You also have a cock and two really good hands.
I do.
And a mouth.
And two. Whoa! That's kind of.
I kiss my mother with that.
So that's an interesting question. If you could suck yourself, would you?
Of course. Sorry.
Why not?
The question wasn't for me.
I think
but
why not?
Obviously, yes, we masturbate, so why wouldn't we suck ourselves? Or
It's mine. I know where it's been. I've been keeping my eye on it the whole day, so it's not like it's gone off and foraged in the woods and stepped in some shit. Like, oh, hey, you've been here
it's
the whole
right
day.
There.
What's up,
homie? Okay. So we're trying to talk about something serious here.
Sorry,
not serious at all, but just orgasmic.
Well, it's a big issue for a lot of women because there's enormous pressure to have orgasms. And what the media has done is created this whole thing that there's actually something wrong with you as a woman if you're not having orgasms.
Never mind even what's the reason.
Yeah, so there's enormous pressure, firstly, from your partner because a lot of that is about male ego. If I can't make you come, then the problem has to be yours.
By the way, in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
What?
And average time? Any idea what average time for an orgasm is, by the way? Any
I
ideas?
Think I know right? the answer.
Average time being the
for a woman
last
to have an
thing,
orgasm.
Or
yeah, like how long you would need to spend stimulating a woman for her to have an orgasm. Any idea, more or less?
I'd say 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Tomorrow?
20.
20, yeah. It's 20 minutes, more or less.
Okay.
So
you can have a clitoral let's call it shallow orgasm.
Sometimes
quicker than that if the arousal is really huge.
Yeah, but generally it's around 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a certain level of patience for that to happen. And the male ego plays an enormous part in women's orgasms because if I can't make you come, it's your problem. Something is wrong with you.
And also there's like 20 minutes that I need to do.
I need to be on Facebook for 20 minutes. I need to be doing all sorts of other things. So the time and the pressure of this is enormous.
It is.
So we've spoken about all the things about the benefits of not having orgasms. Are you leaving already?
Yeah, bye.
Okay, well, it's been really nice. Thank you for coming. And
benefits of not having orgasms?
No, we've spoken about, because of the trap, because
goal.
Of the, that when sex is always about that goal, we miss out on so many other pleasure possibilities along the way.
Mm-mm-mm.
But we're focusing this morning on why women don't have orgasms.
And how to.
Yeah, so the pressure for this is enormous. Mm. But let's put all that aside for now and let's start looking at the different reasons why.
Okay.
And one of the biggest ones, and in South Africa this is huge, because of the amount of sexual and emotional abuse that women experience, and that is one of the biggest reasons, that there have been nasty sexual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
There have been abusive sexual experiences, abusive emotional experiences,
and
this
sits,
stops orgasms
sits
happening.
In the body, it's in the mind.
So let's explain the pattern of how that happens. So we work in terms of patterns, which says that an easy way to understand it is every time you brush your teeth in the same way.
Mm.
You bath or shower, you wash in the same way. You eat in the same way. Most people put the same shoe on first every time they put their shoes on.
Amen.
Yep.
So That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So sexually, we tend to do exactly the same thing.
We do.
Now, we do these patterns and we live with them for three general reasons. The first is because they work or we think they work.
Mm-hmm.
They're our comfort zone.
Sure.
Or they're what we know.
Exactly. It's comfortable.
That's all. Mm-hmm. So you know it. Whether it serves you or not becomes irrelevant.
That's the
you
path.
Go there because you know. So that's linked to survival.
Mm.
Survival and safety are the same thing.
Okay.
Whether it serves me or not is irrelevant. I'll go there because I know it. So people stay in unfulfilled relationships because they know it.
Yeah.
They'll stay in unhappy jobs because they know it.
Sure.
So change can be really scary and really frightening.
So it's more about the change.
So I'll stay there simply because I know this, I know what it is, I know what it's not. That's all.
And we expect different outcomes. So that's what Einstein said as somebody.
Yeah, that's what insanity is. Yeah. Doing something the same way and expecting different results. Yep.
So what happens with our body is there's constant communication between the body and the brain.
Mm.
So every time you do something, your brain is receiving messages on what you're doing. So a good way to describe it is it starts out with the idea of what we call muscle memory. Muscle memory says that you do a certain movement and you do it again and again and again, and it becomes entrenched within you.
Okay.
So think about a baby learning to eat. You give the baby the spoon.
Yeah.
The spoon goes all over the place because the baby's waving it all over. Eventually, the spoon goes in the food. The food goes all over, and eventually the food starts to go in the baby's mouth. Okay, now we can go to eat, and we don't even look at what we're doing with the knives and forks or the chopsticks or whatever, because we've been doing it for so long. So we know the pattern so well. So you have a sexual experience that is unfulfilling. That happens once.
Yeah, then again.
Then your belief is it going to happen again?
Mm.
So it doesn't happen again. And every time you do that, then the pattern gets stuck in there. So every time you're in a sexual position, so as a woman, let's say your partner's on top of you, so you're lying on your back, your legs are open in the way that they would be when you have sex, your brain puts the pattern online.
Sure.
And your body simply responds to the pattern.
Mm.
Then you add emotions to that, and particularly contractive negative emotions of fear, of anxiety, of lack of fulfillment, of pressure, of all of those things, and you're locking that pattern in place in a much deeper way.
You're locking it literally in the pussy.
That's it. And every time your body is in that position, even when you start a sexual experience, so it's just a kiss, or you're thinking about having
but
sex.
But there's already a pattern coming
that's
in.
That's it. Your brain puts that online. So it just simply plays itself out. And your body's response cannot be any different because of that.
In a way, even if you try something new, sometimes your partner is a little bit surprised, not to say even not collaborating. You know, so you do something a little bit different. If there's no communication and there's no, you know, cool, intimate language,
transition into,
then all of a sudden you try something new, it can be like, no, don't do that. You know, it's maybe fear or even just scared. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
So because of that pattern, that's one of the reasons that makes it very difficult for you to change this. So you actually have to work on changing the pattern. And this is where sexual body work becomes so important, because you cannot change that purely in the mind.
Explain.
The mind has the beliefs.
Yeah.
This is what I believe about. So one of the biggest reasons that women do not have orgasm is they believe that they can't. That's it. And then there's all sorts of things about that. So a lot of fears come into that. Things like, what am I going to look like when I have an orgasm? What am I going to sound like when I have an orgasm? Good girls don't have orgasms.
If I squirt, I don't want this to
happen. All sorts of things like that. So those are the beliefs in the mind. And those impact on the body. But the body and the mind are one unit. So a lot of Western healing theory is very reductionist.
Okay, reductionist.
It means that people look at things in a vacuum.
Okay, so it's isolated.
It's not holistic. It's not the connection between the mind and the body and the heart and the spirit. Everything is involved in every aspect of us. So just talking about these orgasms is not going to necessarily change your orgasm pattern. It might help you change the beliefs.
Okay.
It might help you identify the beliefs.
Okay.
And then I can start to create some different beliefs in my mind. But because the pattern is in the body,
we don't know anything better.
If I just look at the beliefs, it's not necessarily going to help me have orgasms.
So you actually have to try.
So the body work in this is so important.
To release.
Because the body gets trapped in these patterns. So the emotions get trapped in the patterns in the body. So one of the important things about this, so in Tantra, the word we use for a pussy is yoni, Y-O-N-I. Yoni means sacred space, sacred place. So tissue in the yoni that should be alive and awake and sensitive is often numb or tender or even painful.
Like physically,
yes,
not responding.
When you touch, there's pain or there's absolutely nothing. So because of the emotions that are sitting in that tissue.
That pattern, the destructive pattern.
The memory. Mm-hmm. So the body memory holds the pattern. So if sex was painful, if there wasn't enough lubrication, if somebody was inside of you with their fingers or with a cock or even a toy, that was uncomfortable.
But you wanted to be,
your
you know,
body
to fulfill.
Locks the pattern mm-hmm. in place. You have to release that in the body. And you have to go to where that actually happened. So a lot of women, for example, don't have orgasms during penetration.
Mm.
And that's because that tissue
so
isn't awake.
Mm.
So a lot of women think that they don't have a G-spot because they spend hours looking around inside and their partner spent, and I can't find this little sucker. Where is it? And I don't have one. Of course you do. But the emotional pattern is what sits there.
Mm-hmm.
All of the beliefs. So the mind and the body have to come together in changing this. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
I was lucky enough to, first of all, go through some of that healing with you and also to see in the practice, literally Jonty helping women that allowed, of course, for me to be there, to just literally touch different tissues that are like in the vagina, right? So it's like extremely, extremely, and like this, people can't, I'm sure, can't even understand that women and men go to actually go through healing like that. But it's real and it's beautiful. It's amazing to see how there's a specific point. And then she says to John, she communicates and she says, I can't feel anything. And then there's very gentle movement. And it's like a holistic procedure that you actually see how all of a sudden, after a while of holding very gently, very slowly, and doing, of course, you know, the techniques that John uses, it literally starts to feel. So then all of a sudden, wait, after 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of holding a spot, she can say, wow, this was numb completely 10 minutes ago. I can now, some emotions come up. And it's a whole thing that people won't even believe that it exists. And it's real and it's profound and it's actually releasing stuff, because usually the touch is so conditioned there in the pussy, in the yoni, right? Yeah. So we're just touching there in order to get something out. So I'm going to please you now.
And
there's so much tension. Yeah. There's so much anxiety around
and it. And tension is a huge thing in the yoni, where it's actually painful to be penetrated, sometimes even just by a finger. And this is because of the tension, the actual tightness that sits there. So one of the biggest factors in having an orgasm is you have to let go. You have to surrender. You have to be vulnerable. So some of the things that stop that are, firstly, the way that I'm going to look, the way that I'm going to sound. Maybe there are unresolved emotional issues with your partner. If there are, that is going to make orgasm harder.
Or with yourself. Yeah.
Maybe you're with somebody who you're not going to have a deep emotional relationship with. It's kind of a pickup. It's a hookup. Okay, that's pretty cool. I can do that. But I'm not going to let go enough to have an orgasm, because that's very intimate.
Yeah.
And to be intimate, I have to be vulnerable. So I'm not going to go there with this person because it's not in that relationship. So that idea of surrender is enormously important, because without that you are not going to have an orgasm. And this is where a lot of guys kind of get it wrong, where they think I can make somebody come.
Oh, of course. And it's like the most,
you know, we spoke about this a while ago, where just after Sexpo earlier this year, there was a conversation with a young man, And he said, I know how to please a woman. And his pleasing a woman was, I can make her come. Which is a very ego-based thing. And for men, that's what a lot of sex is. It's this ego-based performance.
Sure.
And as soon as that's there, it makes that orgasm so much harder because it's not about the vulnerability. There's not the safety for her to let go. And then there's things like the time pressure.
Sure.
So
I'm working already. My hand is sore.
Part of the belief of this with women is this taking too long?
Sure.
Am I getting it right? Am I going to do it right? And as soon as you start to feel guilty that it's taking so long, you move further and further away.
I totally relate to that.
The orgasm. You know, there's this cartoon about it's like these two skeletons it's a male skeleton lying between the legs of a female skeleton.
Come yet?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long this takes. I'm gonna
make you go.
That's it. And that's the kind of.
So I'm waiting to my 90s. No teeth. It's gonna be amazing. Just give blowjobs all day long to my husband. Oh my word!
And those are some of the beliefs that stop this. So the vulnerability is huge. As far as this is concerned. So you have to be willing to let go and surrender.
When I chatted to a lot of women and I had a lot of experience with women. So a lot of them come quite fairly quick or pretend to come quick. And it was always, you really can't tell. Well, I'm sure Jonty can, but I can't.
No, you'll never know.
You never know?
I was just going to say, I don't think you'll ever be able to.
Yeah, because also every woman comes so differently. That's so some of them goes like
and
a sneeze.
Every orgasm is different. Just because it happened one way once and it was maybe like a huge, big screaming thing, it doesn't mean that tomorrow is going to be the same because our bodies are different every day. Emotional states different. Sexual energy is different. Body chemistry is different. Hormones are different.
Exactly.
So the expectation plays a huge part of this. So to say, I want to feel like I did last Saturday night. You're not the same person you were.
Yep.
So everything about that is different. So that expectation becomes a huge block to orgasm.
Also a millimeter. If you move a millimeter in a woman's yoni, if you move a millimeter, you're like, you were right there. She was screaming. She was happy. Then, why did you move?
So what you're saying about that is one of the other factors then is communication.
Yeah.
So if there's no sexual communication, I can't tell you what I want or what I need. And again, ego becomes a huge one in this.
But also women get so frustrated. Just don't be so harsh. Just smile and say, okay, try again. And a little bit, let's say we are already swimming. Just don't drown the boat. Don't sink the boat because he got distracted for a moment or because you had a thought about laundry. Just go back to the water, swim a little bit more. We get like, you know what? I lost it. I don't want to do this. We get a bit bitchy sometimes as well.
So communication in that is so important. So you have to know your own body.
That's important.
You have to know what you like. So there's a big difference between self-pleasuring for orgasm and self-pleasuring for exploration, for learning. So the goal of self-pleasuring for most people, men and women, is orgasm. So whether that's because it helps me sleep, because I'm stressed and it's relaxing and it's a stress release.
Victory wink.
Yeah.
I won! Yes!
There you go.
Again.
And it's easier to have orgasms on your own as a woman than with a partner because there's no communication. There's no vulnerability.
Everything is happening internally. Yeah.
That's it. And it's all about me. So whether I make noise or I don't, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And part of this is, and this is, it's one of the things that porn has done, which is terrible, is it makes two things actually about. The first is it makes female self-pleasuring this huge big event, like really glamorizes female masturbation. And in fact, it's not sometimes. It's just really slow or really gentle or really quick. And that's all. And it's not this huge big thing. The second thing is in porn, women have these huge big orgasms. And there's fireworks and there's screaming. And even in the Hollywood movies, that's what it's about. There's this build-up. Yeah. And the music reaches a crescendo. And the lights reach the crescendo. And there's, that's a very male voice. Tamar, make an orgasm
noise.
Come on.
And then she orgasmed.
Yeah.
Something
like that.
There we go.
She orgasmed.
And
I'm going to...
On your own...
I'm going to download quickly an orgasm.
So on your own, you can do...
Yeah, you can do whatever it takes for you to do the thing.
That's it. And whatever your body does.
Just, it's with you.
That's
you,
it. There's no performance.
No one needs to know. No one understands.
So if you make noise or you don't, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Exploring your own body to learn is very different to the orgasm. So you've got to get out of that idea of the orgasm. And you've got to start exploring your yoni. Outer lips, inner lips, your clit, between the inner and outer lips. The U-spot, the G-spot, everything about that, and start to understand what is it that I like. Do I like soft pressure? Do I like harder pressure? Do I like a mixture? Do I like really slow movements? Do I like quicker movements? And when you start to understand more about your own body, it becomes easier to tell that to a partner. Then, from a male point of view, he has to listen, which means he has to put his ego aside. So, you know, there was this typical thing. I've been running a yoni massage special offer for people to come and have this beautiful yoni massage experience. And we posted this all over. And there were comments that, oh, yes, I'm an expert in this. I've been doing this for 20 years. Just ask my girlfriend. And, okay. You know, sure. Whether you are good at it or not is irrelevant. It's such an ego response.
Yeah.
Which means, if you're coming from that place, how willing are you to listen to her? How willing are you to allow her to show you what she wants, to tell you what she wants? Can you put all that sort of masculine bluster aside?
Just listen.
That's it. And that's a huge thing. It really is. And you really have to listen. And then you have to act on that. And you have to do that again and again and again. Because if you've been doing something as a man sexually for your entire life and it worked with one woman once...
It's not going to work with all of them.
That's it. But you think that it is. So you do the same thing again and again and again. And she says, I don't like to be touched really hard and really quickly. So then you think, all right, but I don't...
Sorry. That's a whale orgasm. Are you ready? I'm sorry. Yeah, and then
that is a big orgasm.
Yeah.
Imagine being in the water if
you're
close to where that happens. Well, I have to tell you, we're going to be in Mozambique quite soon, and there are whales in the bay there. So maybe we will witness whale orgasms.
Nice. Okay.
What are you doing, Simone?
This is an orgasm.
That doesn't sound like an orgasm.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds a bit like a gentle cosmic orgasm.
Yeah, exactly.
It's beautiful music.
That's a planet climax.
I thought so, but it's like nice.
That's what the Big Bang sounded like. Yeah. Ah, see what I did there?
Maybe
the Big Bang.
I think maybe you need some search help there.
Yes, I do.
So we need to find a 12-year-old to help you.
Oh, 12-year-old? Well, no, not 12-year-old.
No, 12-year-olds how to work the internet.
I know that, I know, but it said explosive orgasm, and it was music of like tantra, so I think they're kind of music to accompany
you something a little bit different.
In your journey,
like a little bit more in the gutter, like where your friends are.
My friends are perfectly fine. It's just me. I'm there drowning by myself. Like, help. By the way, I was telling about my gutter friends, and you cut me off. I was saying that all of them come quickly, and I have self-esteem issues because of that, because I have like deeper orgasms and I have more penetrative orgasms. Sorry, I don't want these whales to continue. And it's like it made me feel, you know, all of them come to the club and they just go woohoo, and you know, they just climax.
So that's a big thing is
for me, like 20 minutes,
damn
it.
The fact that firstly there are different kinds of orgasm and they all feel different. So some women actually don't know what an orgasm actually does feel like. Because of they think they have an idea of what it should feel like.
Mm.
So, for example, if you've watched porn and that becomes your model, or you've watched lots of movies and that's your model,
that's not a
then
good
it's
model.
This big thing. And there's all these noises, there's all these body writhing movements. And sometimes orgasms are really quiet and really gentle, and they don't last all that long, and that's all. It's finished. It's not 3 minutes of... Make orgasm noises?
Wait. Mimi.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
thanks.
There you go.
Thank God she put the speakers off.
I feel like that also throws the guy off because if he doesn't hear that, he feels like he's doing something wrong.
That's it.
And I would be a guy, I would be like, is that real?
Yeah, and where does it come from? Because that just feeds into the male ego. I made her scream.
Yeah, she was screaming. Oh, she was enjoying that.
I made her scream for 10 minutes.
Maybe she was screaming because there's a crumb on her back. And it
by
was
the
hurting.
Way, you do get a cramp floor, many times and you're like, oh my God, no. That's not
that
good.
That moment of orgasm, your calf cramps or your thigh cramps or something. And that's the reality of it. So the expectation of how it's going to feel becomes quite a blockage. Instead of understanding that there are different kinds of orgasms, there are different orgasmic triggers, and maybe that'll be an idea. It's been a while since we've done a show on the different kinds of orgasms.
On the 13 like different that. Ones?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway.
There's 13?
They're not coming like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, I meant like there's 13 different
kinds. Yeah, John,
there's 13
yeah.
different
Research
orgasmic
shows,
triggers,
yeah.
even God more damn. Than that.
Different areas in the brain that being activated.
I'm there that day that you do that show again. I'm there.
Number 12B.
No, I'm not making notes. Those are all mental.
It's like menu. Would you like to have number 7 tonight?
Which orgasm would you like,
my love? The cool thing is you can't expect it. Some of them, if you allow, the body and the mind and the heart will open in the way they need today. So maybe your girl is super emotional today and her orgasm will be an amazing release with tears. And maybe it will be just a quick, sharp one, like a cool male orgasm. Like, yeah, maybe it's going to be something like
punching me in the chest or something.
Oh, my God. Ripping your hair.
Yeah,
you don't
no,
have
whoa,
hair.
Whoa, whoa.
No
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No. Just like scratching my skull.
I find it that. Sorry,
I don't know. It's been a while. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Been a while since
we've both,
had sex.
We're both not having enough, which is like not good.
It's been a good 8 months.
Well, maybe
okay,
I
not
can,
a good, but
maybe I can introduce you to some people.
Look at that.
We're going to have some.
All you had to do was complain, Eric.
Just ask for the universe, and the universe will provide.
If you believe
well, you might have to
it.
Do a little bit more than that. You might have to put a little bit
I'm
of
getting
yeah, yeah,
nice.
Into I don't mind a little bit of physical
And
labor.
That's the thing, that sometimes an orgasm takes effort, especially deeper orgasms. It takes stamina, it takes time, it takes effort.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons not to have orgasm is because you've had a hard day. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't want to have this orgasm. And that's really valid. And sometimes you might just enjoy the arousal, the closeness of sex, the intimacy, but I don't necessarily want to have that orgasm. And that's a really valid reason why some women don't, because I'm really stressed, I'm working hard, I'm not sleeping well. Interesting thing is that when you do have the orgasms, a lot of that changes.
Also what you thought.
So it's kind of a little bit of a paradox that it might be the last thing that you feel like, but if you allow it, the benefits are really huge.
Are huge. And also after the first one, you would actually want to experience another one. Women, okay, let me talk for myself. So we sometimes think, no, it's for so many reasons that Jonty has mentioned. No, it's I'm tired. I have a headache. Yeah, even if I communicate that I'm not in the mood,
just
right?
No, yeah.
And then we kind of have a negotiation because I think everything should have a negotiation. Also that, and then you get to the okay. Let's have
that's just your Israeli part.
No.
I have to haggle. I have to argue. I can't just say yes or no.
But isn't it great that it's like, you know what? I'm not feeling it.
That's
Do you feel
funny.
It? Yeah, I'm actually really feeling it. Okay, you go. You give me a try. Come on, let's give it a go. I don't know. It's instead of just saying no, baby, I don't want to, and shut up. Just let's negotiate. Maybe you'll convince me.
I'll give you 2 butt touches. How's that?
I'll put some money in your account. No, it's not. It's not.
No,
guys,
that's a transaction.
Hey, if it's my, you know.
Oh, it's your
it's
modus operandi. Do
yeah, maybe
thing.
I gave him 2,000 rand yesterday.
Thing.
Listen, for a lot of people, sex is a transaction.
True.
And orgasms actually are a part of that transaction.
It's the currency.
Yeah, so for some people, it's a 50-50 thing. It's orgasm for orgasm.
What?
Yeah,
for some people, it's for some women, it's
If you didn't make me
come the last 2 times we had sex.
Yeah, I'm not going to give
I'm
you.
Not, you do this first.
Counting.
And that's the transaction part of it. So that you need to recognize that and acknowledge it, and then you do need to communicate that.
Or so wait, I wanted to ask, when you say communicate, does this communication need to be verbal? Or?
Yes, that's the only way it's going to happen.
Okay,
so let's go back to...
To
there are other ways to communicate. So, for example, in terms of your partner telling you what she wants, she might not be able or comfortable yet to tell you exactly what she wants.
Okay.
So she can do that by taking your hand
and guiding,
putting it and guiding you.
Okay.
You have to listen to that, which means you have to actually
pay attention to what your hand is doing.
That's
even though it's
and you have
guided,
to be
okay?
quite sensitive to that.
Okay.
Because then you have to surrender your hand. So you have to really relax and let go in that. But that still doesn't replace the fullness and the effectiveness of verbal communication. So, for example, she might put your finger on a spot and show you a certain movement. You might not be able to read exactly the pressure that she wants with that.
So that's where you have to come in and actually...
So,
okay.
Okay, so there are 8 magic words for sexual communication. Eric, you might want to write these down.
I'm listening.
And guess okay. what? It's not, oh yeah, daddy.
That word is so horrible.
So make a word note there. Eric, make a word
Don't
note.
Don't say daddy. Got it.
Well, that's I read right. an article. It has nothing to do with the Oedipal issues or Electra issues. It's just you are the boss, kind of. Yeah.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
The 8 magic words.
8 magic words. Ready.
Harder, faster.
Okay, not ready. Phone is taking forever. Okay, I'm here.
I think you can remember it. It's
harder,
kind of
faster,
like...
Slower, softer.
Obviously.
Left, right.
Direction. Okay.
Up, down.
Okay. So those are the 8. Hey,
those are the 8 pleasant. Magic words.
That sounds like a cheat code on GTA. Actually.
So there are 2 ways to communicate about touch.
Okay.
The first is that the receiver... So in this case, it would be the woman receiving the touch guides. Saying, a little bit harder, a little bit harder, that's it. A little bit slower, a little bit slower, that's it. A little bit to the left, a little bit to the left, a little bit more, a little bit, and that's the spot. Okay.
Okay.
The other way is that the person, the giver, guides the touch. And then the person receiving just has to kind of go, So you do that. You ask questions that simply have a yes or no for an answer. Is this a good spot?
Left, yes.
A little
no.
bit harder. A little bit softer. A little bit slower. Is this slow enough? And then you're able to be absolutely spot on with pleasure.
And then you get a grab.
Because, as Tamar said, literally 2 or 3 millimeters can make the difference between something feeling good or just okay or even neutral to feeling fantastic. How do you know? You ask. And then what's more important in the communication is to understand that because something happened once, bless you,
thank
my
you,
son. Because it was good there today does not mean...
It's going to be good there tomorrow because you are a different person tomorrow.
That's right. And our bodies are different. They respond differently.
There's a different chemical balance in your body
that's
and everything,
it.
Yeah.
And you have one orgasm in 5 minutes today, that might not happen tomorrow.
Okay.
So one of the most effective ways of healing this, we've spoken about a few things, is to take the idea of orgasm out of the equation. So you'll actually get to have more orgasms by not trying to have orgasms.
So just focusing on the arousal and the
pleasure.
Okay.
Because the more that you focus on this orgasm, you're focusing, you're chasing this little sucker all over the place. And the more elusive it becomes. Like almost there, it's almost, and it's gone.
I can't find this orgasm.
And it's almost there, and it's gone. And you just end up chasing it all over the place. And it becomes more frustrating. And the more...
Come on, orgasm.
Like tempting it with little pieces, like hearts or whatever. Like,
so are you going to tempt it with diamonds?
Well, if you're talking to me, yes. Other people love affection. I don't know, whatever the crap they want. You know,
diamonds. Definitely diamonds.
Ask Marilyn Monroe. Just channel her.
There we go.
But the more you try and chase this and the more you try and make it happen, the more elusive it becomes.
Yeah.
So the more that you relax into the pleasure, the more it's going to happen. And understanding that to heal this, it takes some time because the patterns within us are really deep.
And difficult to break, yeah.
And when we add the emotions to them, they're locked in place really deeply within us. So...
No, that's... Better?
You know, I'm saying something really serious here, and you just put this...
I want to know what the perfect orgasm sounds like, but
comedic
that's...
Comedic timing completely off. So okay. Off.
I think you need to spend a little bit more time with Eric to teach you about timing. Yes.
No, I'm just giving you kind of a background. It's just a background. It's just a soundtrack to your beautiful words. It's an incentive.
You need to wait for that perfect moment where everyone just stops talking.
Okay, I'm waiting for it.
Insensitive incense.
Sorry. Yeah. Why? I'm a woman. I'm allowed to do it. I'm like, this is like, I'm allowed to. I've been deprived for years. I can do, this is an orgasm anticlimax.
Okay, I have to tell you that I think next week we are definitely looking at
BDSM.
At bondage and punishment and training.
Good. You know that, can I bring the orgasm clip there as well? With a lot of...
At your peril.
I'll be waiting. Oh, I'll be waiting.
No, I totally lost where...
I was listening. It was very good. It
so
was
what was fun. I saying?
You were discussing... You were talking about that orgasm, that sneaky little orgasm that runs
if
around.
You're chasing it, you're yes. Chasing that's it. Where you are.
So stop it.
Stop chasing,
stop chasing the orgasm
and stop seducing it
and
back.
And as soon as you do that, it becomes a lot closer to happening. So on a journey to heal this, be kind to yourself, be compassionate, be gentle. It does take some time. And sharing a journey like that with a partner, it becomes really important that your partner understands that it is not necessarily going to be this 5-minute quick fix. That it does take some time. It doesn't have to take a long, long time. But because there are so many layers with this that have built up over so long, it does take some time. So really, be kind to yourself on this. Mm. And the bigger picture of it is not having orgasms is not an isolated little block. It's connected to the whole of your sexuality, to your self-image, to your body image. And that's another thing that prevents women having orgasms, is the way that they feel about their bodies. Because if you really do not feel good about your body, you do not feel good about your pleasure, you're not going to allow yourself the fullness of your pleasure. So your body image and liking your body is a really important part of that. And the more judgment you have on the way that your body looks, the harder it becomes for that to happen. And again, the media brings so much pressure on this is how we should look that it takes that further and further away and makes that harder.
I remember, John, you take sex from the equation many times when you're trying to, let's say, redefine sexuality or redefine a couple's pleasure or one's. So you actually take the sex out. I remember you said it to a few of your customers in the therapy room. Is that something that a woman that is looking for an orgasm should actually say no more patterning? So let's start again.
You need to do something very different. Mm. And if for most of us, sex tends to follow the same pattern. So we start out and maybe we're sitting on the couch watching TV and we touch and then we kiss and I touch your boobs and I kiss your nipples.
Oh, yeah, well, and I'm taking this too quickly.
That's it. And we've gone past that stage already.
And then she orgasms.
Yeah.
And then I lick you, you suck me, and we have sex. And that becomes the pattern. So if we can change that, immediately it starts to allow for something different. And part of that means that we actually have to learn something because often we don't know what else to do other than what we do. And if you're going to learn something new and you're going to try something different, you need to communicate that with your partner because if you start doing something different during sex, what's the first question, Eric?
Who have you been sleeping with?
That's it. Where did you get this from? So.
Yeah. I bought it.
Imagine starting with the orgasm. How cool would that be?
Well,
get rid of it.
Yeah, it's
done deal.
No, I'm just saying, like, just imagine starting.
So, start in the middle.
Yeah.
But just because you start in the middle, make sure that you don't go back into the pattern.
Yeah.
I read an article now about a sexologist has said she's against foreplay because what's foreplay? It's just, what is it, a 10-minute thing that is kind of sensual stuff and then you start pounding, so it's not a good term, right? And then the understanding of arousal is something that Jonty uses often. Arousal is something you build, and an orgasm is a pleasure being built and sensations being accumulated, and it's like fire. So you start with a few twigs and you make a little fire, and it just grows and grows and grows. And from my experience, if you have an orgasm quickly, sometimes it desensitizes and it's actually a bit sensitive to touch and you can't really continue.
Yeah.
So but if you arouse enough and you actually awaken the whole tissue or in the pussy, in the yoni, the orgasm most likely to be much deeper, much more amazing. And then you can also continue into the next one, the next one. So it is about time.
Yeah. So understand that, some women will have really quick orgasms almost as a defense mechanism.
Wow.
Because I want to get the sex out the way. So once I've had an orgasm, then I'm done. And for a lot of women, once one orgasm has been experienced, that's it. It's
so they
over.
Will concentrate everything just
and
to get that.
Everything will happen and then it's done. So maybe you feel guilty about having sex. Maybe you feel guilty about having pleasure. You don't want sex to last. Maybe it's painful or uncomfortable. So the one orgasm will happen and that's it.
Ish.
And it can become a defense mechanism. But you can learn, firstly, to prolong that and to have more than one orgasm. And part of that goes back to the pattern in your body. Your body is just so used to that pattern that that's what you end up doing. So orgasms can become a defense in a way simply because then it's done. And I'm finished.
That is harsh.
So you need to understand.
That sound you just made was probably the perfect orgasm.
That an orgasm.
If that's the perfect orgasm.
No. I meant like for this.
For that, yeah.
It's,
like,
it's done.
But in a given moment, that can be the most beautiful orgasm.
That's yeah, just it can that, be beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's beautiful. And that's all that it needs to be sometimes.
Yeah.
So the important thing is to say that. Yeah, I totally lost. That was an important thought. It was simply that the defense against pleasure can be so ingrained in the body that it stops me having deeper pleasure.
Yeah.
So there's different, you know, the different kinds of orgasms give different sensations.
I have to.
So most women will orgasm through clitoral stimulation, which means she might need the right kind of clitoral stimulation for the right time. So one of the most important things for clitoral stimulation is lube. And essentially, you can never have too much lube. If a woman does not lubricate sufficiently, you need lube.
And the don't rules spit.
The rules for lube. The rules for lube. The plainer the product, the better it is for your body.
Okay.
And you want something that's going to last, something that's going to stay on your skin, not go into your skin. So you need to keep on reapplying it.
Mm.
My advice: coconut oil. Stay away from things that get hot, that get cold, that smell like fruit salad or sushi or curry or promise you sparkles
or Bengay
moon landings
with estrogen. Makes your clit like a little penis because it's swollen.
The plainer the product, the better the body. Really, really simple.
And not Bengay or like, you know, deep heat.
No, definitely.
No, whoa. That's a step too far.
Eric,
yes.
What is coulrophilia?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Coulrophilia.
C-O-U-L.
It's not a cool thingy.
Any idea?
Hold up. It sounds like it has to do with somebody's mouth.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
And yeah.
It's not, but it's an interesting one.
Okay.
So coulrophilia is a fetish for clowns or other street performers.
Well, are they hot or are they just the street performers?
A random dude wearing a clown suit.
So if you're into clown porn, you are a coulrophiliac.
What about the guys that just stand in the robots and do their thing with the boxes? That like, because some of them are hot. They're just they're good look. Like, you know, muscles. But is it like the thing that there's the fact that they're in the street?
Someone is trying to justify
this. Yeah, totally. Like, of course, I didn't give him 100 rand. I said, come with me, just behind the robot. Just
that's what coulrophilia is.
It is a coulrophilia.
There we go. Very, very simple. We are going to be in Pretoria on Tuesday night doing a workshop on oral sex, how to give the most awesome blowjob.
Pretoria people are waking up.
A yoni licking. That's absolutely awesome. And the following Tuesday, we are going to do the same workshop in Joburg.
Jonty, you are selfish. So do it online for the Dublin, for the Australian, for
we're
the...
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there.
We have to do a webinar with your skills. These. Yeah.
Oral Sex Workshop Pretoria this Tuesday, Joburg the following Tuesday.
And it's
the program for our next retreat in Mozambique. I have to tell you, it's awesome and it's life changing. And the subtitle of it is Making Love with Life. And it's how to live a life of deeper pleasure, how to use your sexual energy to create, to manifest, to connect with your heart, swimming with the dolphins in this absolutely beautiful corner of the earth where magic happens. You want to give yourself or your partner the most incredible gift you can, come with us to Mozambique. Information is on Facebook.
With Eros Life.
Email me on Eros Life, jonty@erosLife.co.za. This has been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been pleasant.
Is that the moment? Can I do it now?
Your orgasm.
Yes. Yes. Perfect timing. You see, if you did it without asking.
It now.
Oh, my goodness. And
that's a delayed orgasm.
Sorry. But the good thing is the man is also making a noise. Absolutely. And we want to encourage men to make
Tamar,
noise.
You're interrupting their orgasm.
Oh, sorry. You see, that's not real. No, they sound like the constipated.
I was going to say the same thing. Okay. That sounds more like
next time.
I wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.